How do I look? What's the background that I'm showing like? Is there any untidiness behind me? Is the camera showing me in the middle of the screen or just a bit too high or a bit too low? What do I wear lower down than my head and shoulders view? What does the view I say, show, say about me? What identity am I showing? These are just a few questions that we might currently be asking ourselves when we come to church at the moment via Zoom. Or perhaps to avoid asking those questions of ourselves, you don't put your camera on. And for those of you using the phone facility, it doesn't matter anyway. So you might still be in your pajamas, I don't know. I seem to have been driving a lot more than usual in recent weeks. And often I have had BBC Radio 4 on while I'm travelling. Consequently, I have heard the advert from Lucrece Grajoa several times for a programme called Code Switching. Like many young black people, says the publicity for the programme, Lucrece Grajoa is an expert in code switching, used to changing her voice, accent, and mannerisms when she enters white majority spaces. But should she really have to? In this programme, Lucrece reveals the cost of hiding who we really are in the workplace and explores the mechanics of code switching, a term first used to describe the experience of African-American students in the 1970s. I must admit it's a word I've only just come to know, or a phrase. She shares her own story of being taught to become, as the publicity says, a palatable black girl with a soft voice and an unceasing smile. And she talks to other young professionals about the steps they've taken to fit in, from switching to a white voice in the office, to changing how they dress, what they talk about, and how they style their hair. We also hear from those who, tired of code switching, are daring to be themselves in a corporate world. Questions of identity. Our identity. My identity. I wonder, what defines you? Is it gender? Job? Family? Nationality? Or faith? Or maybe something different? What do we want people to see of us? And what do we want to tell or show them about ourselves? What am I trying to show when I talk to people or meet people, perhaps for the first time, perhaps at work, or perhaps with a long-term friend or family member? Who am I? In our passage from Matthew this morning, we reach a pivotal point recorded in each of the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when Jesus asks the question of his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? In Matthew's Gospel, we have already seen the disciples declaring Jesus to be truly the Son of God. That came in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 33. But that response had been in a fraught situation. The wind was battering the boat on the waves, and Jesus was walking on the water towards them. In today's passage, which takes place at Caesarea Philippi, a region where Gentiles had settled and where many ideas about religions and rulers were prevalent, the disciples are being asked for a considered opinion. Who do the people say that the Son of Man is? And they begin by chipping in with general answers, gossip about what people are saying. Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. This was not a particularly strange answer in its time, for the commonly held view for first century Jews was that the prophets would in some way be reincarnated and would come ahead of the Messiah, the anointed one. The disciples' answer then is a collective, general response rather than a personal conviction. What kind of answer might we get if we ask people in our society who Jesus is for them? A historic person? A teacher? A healer? A political figure? A misguided nomad? Just someone from the storybooks? A shepherd? A friend? Following the general gentle question, Jesus asks one which is more probing, more challenging, more personal. But who do you say that I am? I suggest you take this question away with you after today's service and reflect on it. Ask it of yourself, but putting slightly different emphases on each of the words in turn. Who do you say I am? You'll find yourself asking subtly different questions. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And so on. Take this reflective exercise away with you and spend some time pondering its answers. How would you answer that question if you were asked it today, I wonder? What if a stranger asks you? Or maybe a friend over a meal. Who is Jesus? Who do you say Jesus is? What would you say? Would you be able to answer the question using non-churchy words if speaking to a stranger? Repeating the answers of others isn't sufficient, just as with the disciples, only answering the question, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? That did not sum up the whole situation. It's almost as though Jesus is saying to his disciples, you've been with me, spending time with me, listening to me and watching me. Who do you say that I am? What do you say? And you can imagine the disciples being a bit like members of a committee when someone challenges and says, we need someone to do this or that or the other, X, Y or Z. Who will stand up and put their name forward? Who will try it? And everyone sheepishly looks down to their toes, hoping to avoid the gaze of the questioner. Yet Simon Peter speaks up and offers an individual, personal answer. In Mark's gospel, the reply is simply, you are the Messiah. Luke has the Messiah of God. Only Matthew's gospel has the full statement. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Those words remind me of the song from the musical The Witness by Jimmy and Carol Owens. When I read this passage, when Simon Peter sings with conviction, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I say you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. You are the Lord. And then finally, you are the Christ. You are my Lord. He makes this risky statement, and in so doing demonstrates his faith in the mission of Jesus and his willingness to be involved in it. And at this risk-taking moment, Jesus gives his disciple Simon the new name Peter, which means the rock, the foundation on which his church will be built. It was a risk for Jesus too, for we know, of course, that the rock of the church still denied Jesus three times before discovering the conviction to witness even unto death. But when Simon became Peter, he was following his vocation, his calling from God. Who do you say I am? What is your answer to that question? Are you willing to take the risk as Simon Peter did and be involved in the mission of Jesus? For Jesus is willing to take the risk with you and with me, just as he did with Simon Peter. Curiously, at first sight, Jesus firmly instructs his disciples not to tell anyone that he is the Messiah. Not an uncommon instruction in the Gospels. One reason for this instruction could be that people must find out for themselves who Jesus really is, not just accept or reject what they are told. It is for each person to make the statement that Simon Peter made, or not. The Christian convert who was later on an anti-slavery campaigner, John Newton, whose hymn we will sing in a little while in our service, wrote, "I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I used to be. I am not what I hope to be. Yet I can truly say I am not what I once was. And by the grace of God, I am what I am." You and I might be able to echo his words. So we have thought this morning about identity, our own identity, the identity of others in our society who might feel the need for code switching. And then through our gospel reading, the identity of Jesus, the Son of God, and the identity of Simon Peter. And again, thinking of our own identity as followers of Jesus. It struck me when I was walking along a few roads near to my house, how many hairdressers, barbers, nail bars and beauty salons there are. And during the lockdown, one of the major concerns for many people was that they couldn't get their hair cut, and then they rushed to the hairdressers as soon as they were open. When thinking about our identity, how concerned we are with self-transformation, making ourselves look better, having a makeover. And if it's not ourselves, think about the number of television programmes which offer suggestions for house makeovers or garden landscaping. The list goes on. But does this emphasis distract us from the need to be transformed spiritually? Paul offers a different guide when writing to the Romans. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Doing the will of God, responding to God's love for the world, means making a difference in our relationships and upon the wider world. We might not be able to change ourselves, but God can and does transform us. Who do you say I am? Take the risk to be transformed in the likeness of Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to close by reading a poem by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a poem called Who Am I?, which was written while in prison shortly before his execution. And in it, he questions his identity and ponders whether he is what others say of him or what God intended of him. Who am I? Who am I? They often tell me I stepped from my cell's confinement calmly, cheerfully, firmly, like a squire from his country house. Who am I? They often tell me I used to speak to my warders freely and friendly and clearly, as though it were mine to command. Who am I? They also tell me I bore the days of misfortune equably, smilingly, proudly, like one accustomed to win. Am I then really that which other men tell of? Or am I only what I myself know of myself? Restless and longing and sick, like a bird in a cage, struggling for breath as though hands were compressing my throat, yearning for colours, for flowers, for the voices of birds, thirsting for words of kindness, for neighbourliness, tossing in expectations of great events, powerlessly trembling for friends at an infinite distance, weary and empty at praying, at thinking, at making, faint and ready to say farewell to it all. Who am I, this or the other? Am I one person today and tomorrow another? Am I both at once, a hypocrite before others and before myself, a contemptible, woebegone weakling? Or is something within me still like a beaten army, fleeing in disorder from victory already achieved? Who am I? They mock me, these lonely questions of mine. Whoever I am, thou knowest, O God, I am thine.